dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISOs, RAS, zip, sips. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
100. That's right, 1 to 0, 0, 100 episodes of Binary Revolution Radio are now in the books. I am Stank Dog, been with you from episode 0, the pilot episode, right up till episode 100, coming to you this day, Tuesday, June 14th, 2005. And continuing a somewhat of a tradition we've done on the show here, every 25 episodes we bring you a little something we call the Telephonic Craptacular, which is a collection of phone calls and some freaking adventures, freak odysseys, and a few freak disasters along the way that we have done over time. This is probably going to be the last one that we ever do for a couple of reasons. The main one being that we now have a new show called Freak Factor, which is a live reality radio show where we make a lot of these phone calls live on the air now. So you get the reality aspect of sometimes they don't work, sometimes they do. So our doing these calls in our free time and having fun and recording them just to save them for a special episode like this now becomes kind of a moot point. So this will probably be the last one. And being that this is episode 100, this is not only a telephonic craptacular, but it is a telephonic craptacular extravaganza. So we're going to start off this episode with, let's see, what are we going to go with first? I tell you what, this is kind of a silly fun call that I made one night. I was playing around with some voice response systems, some VRS or interactive voice systems, I should say. And I just got this wonderful idea, and I think you'll figure it out as you start to listen. Mana, mana. All right, I'm going to try a little experiment here. I always like to play around with voice-activated response systems, so I know a couple companies that use those. One of them is Sony, and another one is FedEx. So I figured since they're going to prompt me to speak to them and give my options, I was kind of curious what would happen if I put them together and had them talk to each other. So I'm going to give that a shot. This could be just a complete mess, but we're going to see what happens. So I'm going to call... First of all, we're going to call Sony. Maybe. And if we get them on the line, we will switch over and connect them to FedEx.
Hello.
FedEx.
Service. Welcome to FedEx. If you know the service you'd like, please say it now. Please say, schedule a pickup.
Sorry, I didn't
understand. To schedule a time to pick up your package, say, schedule
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Let's try it again. If you need to schedule a time to pick up your package... Okay, let's try it again.
If you need to schedule a time to pick up your package...
Sorry, but I'm having trouble helping you. I'm going to get an agent on the line who can help. Please hold just a minute.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand your request. I'll connect you to a FedEx representative. All FedEx operations in the U.S. and Puerto Rico are closed on Sunday. For fast answers, please visit FedEx.com or hold for a FedEx representative.
Press 2 now. For video products such as CDs, DVDs, DSS, and TiVo, press 3 now. For audio products, such as hi-fi, home theater, portable audio, and car stereo, press 4 now. For Clié and all computer products, press 1 now. For digital imaging products, such as cameras and camcorders, press 2 now. For video...
All right, well, as you can see, they both gave up. As happens in real life, the woman dominated the conversation. And we ended up getting switched to customer service representatives from each company. Well, one of them was closed, and quite frankly, I couldn't make out which one it was. So I would be curious to see if we were to run that, say, 10 times, what the timing would turn out, see if anybody would actually click on some keywords or space some keywords and get somewhere with each other. But for now, that's going to have to do. Mana, mana. Now, those of you who have heard the first few episodes of the Telephonic Craptacular will know that one of the things I like to do is play with the telemarketers when they call me. I don't go out of my way to call them, usually. I usually wait for them to call me, but when I changed over to a VoIP line, I didn't get as many incoming calls. I did, however, continue to get email spam like I always did, so... I got a piece of email spam, and at the bottom of it, they were nice enough to provide an 800 number for me to call of the name of the company. So, I didn't actually expect it to work, so I wasn't recording when I first started the call. However, as soon as I did get somebody answering, and I was kind of trying to social engineer and get some information out of them, I turned the microphone on and started recording the conversation as it started to unfold. So, take a listen to this. Mana, mana. Okay, you're still there?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm sorry, who is this again?
This is Tony. Who is this?
This is Frank. Let's see.
Frank?
Yeah, Frank Caliendo. And Steve, you said he had a number I could get in touch with him?
Yeah, he'll be back tomorrow. You can leave a message on his voicemail.
Okay, and that is?
405.
Uh-huh.
321-5321. Yeah.
Okay, and that'll go directly to him. If I call that right now, it'll go straight to voicemail?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Hey, no problem.
All right, I have no earthly idea who that was that answered the phone. I wish I would have been recording from the beginning because I kind of missed a little SE. Basically, I got an email from a spammer who was dumb enough to put his phone number on the email, address and phone number. He put the comment, please no phone calls, but of course, you don't spam me and not expect a phone call. It's just not the way I operate. So I called him up. it's actually kind of funny. I called him up intending just to see if anybody would answer, if it was a voicemail box, see if anybody actually existed, if it was a fake number. And when someone answered, I said, yeah, Steve there. I just made up the first name off the top of my head, and luckily enough, there was a Steve there. So this other gentleman was kind enough to give me Steve's information. So, Steve, your docs have been dropped, buddy. Mana, mana. Now, of course, you all know that I changed those numbers. Those are not the correct numbers that he gave me. Had to modify that for legal and moral, ethical reasons. Because, I don't know, I'm kind of lame like that, I guess. But there is an important thing there that you can learn, just general social engineering trick, is anytime you do call a number and you kind of get surprised or get an unexpected response, you can always just make up a name, ask for somebody, oh, is so-and-so there, and you have to be ready to react and follow up on it, of course. In this particular case, I asked for somebody who actually existed. My first name, of course, is very vague. Never ask for a first and last name unless they prompt you for it. But just asking for a name comes across as a harmless call no matter what. If somebody does happen to exist there with the name you asked for, then great, maybe you can push your luck a little bit more. But don't trap yourself in so deep that you can't back out of it. Keep it vague. asked for a person's name, and if he would have said, no, there's no Steve here, then, of course, I'm sorry, I just have the wrong number. And then you can try back again in another time or come back with another approach. So there's a little thing you can learn from that short call. And, yeah, don't bother to call that number because, like I said before, it is fake. Mana, mana. Now, besides the just random calls that I make and try to record, which, by the way, I always find a way to work it in the beginning of the phone call to say that I'm recording the call and get permission for all of the calls that you've heard, and I do have those files saved in case I am ever called to produce them. I can show, yes, I got permission on this particular call. I don't bother to put them in the show because I'm not going to waste time with the silly part of that. But I do keep them for all the calls that I make. And yes, that does make the calls more difficult. When you tell somebody they're being recorded up front, it does make them a little bit more defensive. Such an unusual thing to ask that sometimes people will not talk to you or sometimes people will refuse. But it's all about how you go about it. So if you make it into a joke or you tell them that you're doing it for a job or as an assignment for work or as part of an interview or any number of reasons you can give them for why you're recording the phone call for quality assurance purposes. It can be anything because they do the same thing on their end, recording the calls for quality assurance. So you asking it, you can usually play it off into a joke where it sounds nonchalant enough. And then if you just move past it really quickly, people have a very short memory span, and if you move immediately into asking your questions, going on with whatever script or whatever you were going to do, or just sidetrack them, get them laughing or whatever, then they will have forgotten that question ever came up, and the longer you take the conversation, the better chance that they have forgotten the initial fact that they gave you permission to record the call. So, besides the social engineering calls I make just to, and you know what, you can make calls just for practice, just to talk to people to see what information they'll give up. There's nothing wrong with that. But besides the social engineering calls that I make, and besides the fun that I have with spammers and information I'm trying to get out of different companies, sometimes we'll do just a little good old-fashioned freaking. And these next calls will be indicative of that. And of course, when I want to do a little freaking, or I have questions about freaking, or want some assistance, or want to have some fun on the phones, I call my partner in crime, the diabolical genius himself, Lucky225. So Lucky joined me on the phone, and we recorded a couple calls, and we're going to share them with you now. Mana, mana. All right, are we going to, you want to do the TELUS thing right now then?
Yeah.
Okay. So what exactly do you want to do here?
Okay, we're about to call up the 800 number for TELUS, which in case any of you don't know it, it's 1-800-646-0000. Now, this is the same number that we used at H2K2 when I was demonstrating how to caller ID spoof through them, which, by the way, still works, ironically. But anyways, we're going to actually call this number direct and show you that there's actually a flaw in their IVR that allows you to get free directory assistance. And
right,
we'll do that right now.
You're going to dial it then, or you want me to? You're going to dial it, right?
I'll dial it, yeah.
Okay, so we'll hang on while Lucky dials TELUS.
Welcome to TELUS. Bienvenue à TELUS. For service in English, press 1. Pour les services, press 1 to place a long-distance call. Press 2 for directory assistance. Press 3. To charge this call to a calling card, enter the calling card and PIN number now. To charge this call to another number, please press 1, 2. For person-to-person and other calls, please press 0 for the operator.
Now, the menu's about to repeat again.
To charge this call to a calling card, enter the calling card and PIN number now. To charge this call to another number, please press 1, 2. For person-to-person and other calls, please press 0 for the operator.
And if we don't press anything...
So we just don't answer at all.
Welcome to TELUS Directory Assistance. For what city, please?
Calgary, Alberta.
Thank you. For what name, please?
Winks Gas Station.
Please wait while the operator looks for that number.
Hi, this is Barb. Thank you from TELUS. There's Winks Convenience Store.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, 403.
Uh-huh.
646.
Yep.
Sorry, 686.
Oh, okay.
7795.
All right, thanks a lot, ma'am.
You're welcome. Thanks from TELUS.
Thanks from TELUS. She said that twice.
I know.
All right, well, there you go. Free directory assistance. Even if you don't have a calling card or credit card or whatever they're asking for, you just hang on the line and ride it out.
Yep.
Mana, mana. All right, so that's a nice handy little trick. You ever want some free directory assistance? Now you know how. And this next segment with Lucky is actually historically significant, believe it or not. There's actually a bit of history in this. And, well, I guess go ahead and listen and you'll understand why. And you'll hear the use of the infamous Captain Crunch whistle. Mana, mana. All right, now for this next trick, we are going to be using the infamous Captain Crunch whistle, which Lucky 225 just happens to have. So, Lucky, what do we need the whistle for? What are you going to do here?
Well, we're going to be placing a call to Wawena, Minnesota, area code 218, exchange 488. And this is the last exchange in North America that still uses in-band signaling. And basically what we're going to do is call a disconnected number in that exchange that doesn't supervise. And we're going to blow 2600 hertz at it, which will seize the trunk. And then I'm going to MF 218-488-8463 at it. Well, actually, minus the area code, but... And then it's going to call time, because that's the number for Wawena time. And, I don't know, blah.
All right, well, while you go blah and three-way that call in,
all right, hold on.
We'll hope that we'll hope that we can pick up the 2600 hertz whistle, the Captain Crunch whistle, while Lucky's dialing over there. And when he comes back, we'll pick up the whistle on the microphone. I'm not sure how this is going to work. But we'll hear the disconnect message.
The number you have dialed has been disconnected or is no longer in service. Please check the number and dial again. Whoops. Oh, fear VoIP. Damn it, it's echoing like a bitch.
Time is 8:29. The current temperature is 37.
All right, hello. So there you go.
Yeah, took a couple tries because my voice over IP was all echoing and it wasn't recognizing it.
Mana, mana. All right, so... Lucky isn't the only freak that we have on the show tonight. This is, of course, the Telephonic Craptacular Extravaganza, and we would be remiss to have a Telephonic Craptacular Extravaganza without the uber freak himself, Natus, on the show. And Natus has quite a few numbers to play around with tonight, and some pretty funny ones if I see correctly on my list here. Natus, how do you want to start this? What do you want to go with first?
I don't know. Start off with this classic number that I believe Decoder... somebody talked about a little bit before on default radio. It's really funny. It's called the 9 trillion number, and the number is 248-771-0023 for anybody that wants to call it. And let's go give it a call. You can hear it for yourself.
Please deposit 9,999,999,000,007 cents.
All right, I got the 7 cents. If you got, can you cover the rest for me? Can you spot me a little bit?
What?
I said I'll cover the 7 cents. Can you spot me the rest? I'll pay you next Tuesday.
I only have like 30. Like, yeah, I'll have to write you a check. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That'll work. All right. Well, all right. What else? You got something else?
I don't know. Let's go to the next one. This is another weird one that I found on my own, I think. And this one, the number is 229-430-0002. And let's just give it a call so you can hear it.
Okay. And, of course, the VoIP line is blocking out some of the numbers.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
What the hell?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
He's not done yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Now that's a cool.
That's enough of that.
Yeah, well, yeah, that dude doesn't sound like he's all there. Something. He sounds a little off.
Sounds like he's in a band, a crappy band.
Apparently so.
I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Hey, I think that was my favorite number so far. That one's pretty funny. I like that. I'm gonna record that and make that my answering machine message.
Really, I tried to find some good answering machine messages that I'd run into, but. People changed them already. I was kind of pissed.
Yeah.
I had like two or three good ones, but it didn't work out.
Maybe we need to make a website with funny answering machine messages. Like that hasn't been done. All right. Let's see. How about something else funny? Let's stick with this funny theme. Let's do a couple funny numbers and see. And then we'll do some more interesting numbers later.
Okay. This is another recording I found. And... it's just really weird. I've never heard one like this before. So let's just give it a call.
Okay.
Oh, the number is 563-427-9000. Okay, let's call it.
The number you have dialed is on your own line. Please hang up your receiver and allow time for your called party's telephone to ring. Then pick up your receiver to converse. The number you have dialed is on your own line.
What?
Yeah, I'm not really too sure about that one. It's kind of weird.
Wait a minute. How does that work?
I have no idea. You'd have to be a pretty big noob to get that recording, I think.
I think so.
that recording's reserved for noobs.
I guess so. That's just one of those, they stored it and had this number pointing to it for, somebody probably pointed it to that recording and forgot about it and it's been sitting there for years. That one,
yep.
Again, was 563-427-9000. 9000. All right, what else we got? Let's do another one.
All right. Damn, there was this really cool 800 number, and I tried to call it, but it changed. But it changed to something that's kind of funny, too. It's Pronline, but I don't know. It's a good little clip. Let's give it a call.
Okay.
Number 1-800-944-9992.
The prawn line.
Ooh, baby. You've dialed the right number.
Oh, yeah. Well,
thanks.
Yo.
Well, I think I dialed the right number.
Yeah, I think you did. I think I need some quiet time now. What'd you hang up on her for, man? I was going to try to score.
Oh, hold on. Let me give her a call back.
Does she keep talking? Is there more?
Yeah, we'll hear the whole thing. I'll give it a call back.
Okay. I don't know, this might make the show NC-17 all of a sudden, though. Like we don't already.
Or did it not go through?
Ooh,
there we go.
Baby, you've dialed the right number.
Yeah.
Hot, wet, and... penetrating action 24 hours a day. There's nothing like it. Real horny girls just waiting to tell you how they like it and where they want it. You'd better be ready for this mind-blowing experience. So reach down. If you know what I mean. And get ready to stick it in, honey. The service is so good. You'll be coming back for more.
I don't need the service.
This service costs between 69 cents per minute and $1.99 per minute, depending on the method of payment you choose. If you are under 18, you must hang up now.
Oh, better hang up.
She did not say 69 cents either.
No, they did.
How cliche.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny.
Yeah, I don't need to call and get the rest of it. I think that was enough to get the job done. Mana, mana.
Hey, Stank, I got some other numbers that are some cool recordings.
All right. Let's check those out.
All right. Let's see. I found Decoder gave me this one, I think, a while back. He gave me most of these. I think he told me to scan around the area, then I just found them on my own. So let's call this one. It's 765-384-9999.
Okay.
We're sorry. You are not a subscriber to this service. If you wish to subscribe, please call the business office. We're sorry. You are not a subscriber to this service.
What service?
If you wish to subscribe, please call the business office.
What service?
Kind of weird.
Yeah, what service and what business office? Is that like some kind of pre-recorded thing? You're supposed to fill in the blanks, I guess, parameters?
Yeah, those are variables.
Yeah, speech variables. That's great.
All right. So let's see. Here's another weird one.
All right,
check it out. The number is
313-849-9999.
All right. The number you have reached, 849-9999, is not yet connected. 849-9999. Nine is not yet connected. Please try your call again later.
Oh, I guess that number's not connected.
But it is connected. Something answered.
I know. I don't really get what that's all about. Never heard that before.
Yeah, that sounds like the same chick from that 800 number earlier. That's pretty hot.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, and also, just as a general note, when you're scanning, do you find... I mean, obviously, both of those numbers... I can't help but notice end in 9999. I mean, do you usually find interesting recordings and stuff on those sequential numbers like that, like 9999 or 1111, that type of thing?
Generally in the official block, which is like 99XX, so it would be 9900 to 9999. So pretty much all of them are always in that. And it just happens that 9999, they just pick it because it's random.
I guess
like,
easy.
Well,
to remember.
Not random, I guess.
Yeah, it's just easy to remember, I guess. All right, you got another one?
This one's really weird. This was a different number also, and it was a different recording, and they changed it recently. So let's check this one out. Decoder gave me this one too. He told me to scan this area. So let's check this one out. The number is
570-387-0007. This number has been reserved for intersections. It is not currently active. Please call back at a later date. Thank you.
Well, it's obviously connected to something.
Yeah, what is intersections? Is that the name of a company, or is that a name of a technology, or?
No idea.
Huh. Well, I guess that's what makes them error messages. So if you want to find some interesting ones, like Natas just suggested, do a scan of a block that's 99XX. Start with 9900 and whatever local area you happen to be in, And Natas, what should they do with that scan if they actually put it together in a text file? What would be a good site? What would be a good place for them to mail scans like that? Let me think. Do you know any place? You know any place good to put stuff like that? Oh, there's that one site.
Google?
No, I don't think it was Google.
Stankdog.com?
No. I think it's that other one. I think it's that one that you work on.
Oh, what's it called?
Old
oldschoolfreak.com.
Oldschoolfreak.com. Of course, would always love to have scans of interesting numbers like that, as well as other articles, but scans, of course, are always welcome as well.
For sure.
So, always send in your interesting recordings, either as scans or as MP3 files.
Also, you know, I don't want to forget Bellsmine, bellsmine.net.
Oh, yeah, of course, Bellsmine.
The number database.
Always put them up there as well. Mana.
All right, here's a number that'll take you back to the 90s. It's a Bellatlantic Air recording. Let's check this one. This is in the same exchange as the intersection number. And the number is 570-387-0000. And let's call it.
Thank you for calling Bell Atlantic. Due to an emergency condition, we are operating with a reduced staff, and if you stay on the line, you may experience a delay. You may find it more convenient to call us back at another time for assistance.
Yo.
Okay, well. Now, does that...
Maybe we should try calling Bell Atlantic back, now that it's 2005. If they're back yet.
If they're not back by now. And I was going to say, that's the reason you said taking you back to the 90s, because that is not only an old recording. I mean, Bell Atlantic is what now?
Verizon.
They became Verizon, right? Or Verizon bought them or ate them or however you want to call it?
Yeah, they merged. Or they just bought it out, I guess. I don't know.
So there is no more Bell Atlantic.
Nope, and it hasn't been for a while.
Yeah, well, it's because of all these emergency situations. I remember, I think there was one other emergency situation. I think this might explain why they disappeared.
Good morning, you reached the Bell Atlantic North Help Desk. The time of this announcement is 11:30 a.m. Since Monday, May 25th, the Bell Atlantic North Help Desk has been unable to access games. This includes Solitaire and Minesweeper. There is an estimated time. They will never be back. If you have further questions, please hold the Bell Atlantic North Help Desk initial menu.
Mana. Next up in our line of super freaks on the show tonight is Black Ratchet, representing the East Side.
East Side!
And Black
Actually, no,
Ratchet.
I'm more of a North Border person.
Yeah, but you're still East Side. Yeah, anyway. And Black Ratchet has written a really cool script for Asterisk, a really cool little program for Asterisk, and why don't you tell people a little bit about what it is, and then maybe we can demo it.
Well, this has been floating around in my head for a while, and I want to give proper shouts here, actually, so let me go pull up the forums. This is a script. It's called an AGI script. It runs on Asterisk that... What it does is it interfaces with Nmap, so, you know, you don't have to have a computer to, you know, port scan the White House or hack the Gibson or whatever. You can do it directly from any payphone, provided you have a 1-800 number. And, you know, I always had this rattling around in my head, but someone on the forums did say, hey, wouldn't this be spiffy? And I said, well, you know, I've been thinking about that for a while, so rather than actually do real work one night, I decided to go write this out. I can't find the topic. I'm terribly sorry to the person who actually inspired me to do this. Shucks. But anyway, this is what I wrote, and it's a short and simple script. I think it's a good, like, about 20 lines of code, and it's a text-to-speech engine, so it can interface with you, and basically what happens is you give it an IP address, it scans it, it tells you what's running on the server.
All right, well then, shall we give this a try?
No, I think we should just leave him at that.
Okay, all right, well, and we'll move on to the next section then. No, all right, let's give it a shot. Of course,
okay.
This is just a test box, a temporary box, and we can't give out this number, but I'm going to call this, and you're going to join the call in progress in just a second. So let me flash over here. And we're back. And we're going to enter in an IP address separated by the pound sign.
Enter the IP address you wish to scan. No So, Ratchet, you know how to push my button. Please wait. Host phone with 3 ports open. MSRPC on port 135. NetBIOS SSN on port 139. Microsoft PS on port 445. Scan complete. Thank you.
And that's it.
All right, so does it automatically drop?
Yes, yes. So it disconnects you after it completes the scan. Obviously, I posted this code on the forums, and I'll actually have this version, which uses a text-to-speech engine, which is the voice synthesizer. This actual one is made by a company called Sepstral, and it's a very relatively cheap, very good text-to-speech engine. This is compared with Festival, and what Festival is a free text-to-speech engine. But in my opinion, it sounds like a guy who's 80 years old who smoked 20 packs a day for about 50 years.
Uh-huh.
So I prefer Sepstral. Plus, it's a nice chatty female voice, and I can make it say sexy things to me.
Yeah, like Black Ratchet, you really push my buttons. Come on, what? All right. Well,
previously I had a guy saying thank you Black Ratchet, and thank you Smithers, you know how to turn me on.
Ah, yeah. Little reference for those of Simpsons viewers out there. Well, let's do that again. The last one, just to let people know, all we did was do a scan of 192.168.0.1, which is just the local host there. So let's do, you have a test box set up that's a little bit more thorough. So should we call it back and scan this different IP test box to show that it's not pre-recorded, that it's dynamic enough to scan all of the ports and report on it?
That's what I set it up for.
Okay.
This actually is reading what NMAP is putting out. This uses NMAP for port scanning, which if you haven't downloaded it or used it, NMAP is a very excellent port scanner. You can do all kinds of wild and wacky stuff with it. And if you ever want to learn IP and TCP stack programming, download NMAP and read the source. It's a completely amazing piece of work.
Yeah, very, very good stuff. All right, I'm going to flash over, and we're going to give this a shot, so hang on.
Enter the IP address you wish to scan. No, Ratchet. You know how to push my button. Please wait. Host found with 10 ports open. SSH on port 22. SMTP on port 25. Domain on port 53. HTTP on port 80. RPCBIND on port 111. Not on port 113. NetBIOS SSN on port 139. Submission on port 587. And then on port 719. NETVIEWDM3 on port 731. Scan complete. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now also you get to understand why, text-to-speech kind of sucks, because we're feeding it text that if we read it, we would completely understand, but it really has no clue how to pronounce it. Actually, one of the things that I've been thinking about is providing a database of the various port services, or not like a database, but a translation table for having, it says like net by OS or something like that.
Right.
For NetBIOS, and just have a way of having it, if you see this, translate it to that, and we'll have it spelled out phonetically so it can actually understand it better.
Yeah, you can make a translation database of phonetic sound pronunciations of all of them, but I don't know. For the most part, I think it's pretty good as is.
Yes, yes. Actually, for all you people coming to DEF CON, Strom and I will be doing a presentation, and this will be featured on it, and we will be showing it off.
Very, very good stuff.
I was actually working on the slide last night. So reach out and touch somebody.
And,
or someone, excuse me.
Yeah, and I presume that you're running it in draft. I don't know what the term is. The not verbose mode in map. You're running in map, and if you were to run in map in verbose mode, it would read a whole lot more information. Or did you have something that? How are you controlling that?
This AGI script is actually a Perl script that interfaces with Asterisk via a module called Asterisk AGI. And because it's a Perl script, Perl can interface with anything, essentially. And there is another module called PortScan NMAP. Hang on for one second. Mm-hmm. I will go pull up the code immediately. Because I was actually just working on this, getting this ready for the show.
Yeah, and
we plan ahead here on BinRev.
Yeah. Not exactly.
I'm sorry, it's nmap colon colon parser. It's available on CPAN, and if you don't know what CPAN is, you know, you haven't used Perl yet. CPAN.org, C-P-A-N.
All right. And also, all the same flags and controls that you would use with nmap are available, so you can only scan, like, maybe the lower 1024 ports and that type of flags, all that kind of stuff can still be controlled with this, correct?
Yes, this is the nmap parser is extremely configurable, and it's just a matter of working it in with the script.
Right.
I just did this I think I did this in about an hour one night and hooked it all up and wrote it all out. It was quite simple, so I kept it, you know, keep it simple, stupid.
Right. Very simple. But very cool and very useful, so anybody having an asterisk box of their own who wants that code, they can get it, of course. What is that site again? I always forget. What is that really cool leet site that would have this?
Blackratchet.org.
I guess that's all there really is to say about that.
Actually, there's one more thing. It's also on forums.binrev.com, and I found the topic. The person who I want to send shouts out to is Fluidic Slave. It's under new use for asterisk. It's not on the main page of the old school freaking forums. It's one page in. You can look at it. You'll see it.
At this time, it's one page in. Of course, it'll keep.
At this time, of course. You know, obviously, when we're watching this, when you guys are listening to this on the interactive hyperweb of 3050, it's going to be probably a couple of thousand pages in, I assume.
Yeah, like anybody's going to be. Yeah. Anyway.
I listen to phonetrips.com. That's like, you know, stuff's like at least 30 years old.
Yeah, maybe, but this isn't exactly, we're not phone trips.
We're close. It's telephonic craptacular.
Well, that is true. It is craptaculicious. I just made that up. That was horrible. All right, I think we're done with this.
Ben River Radio, it's craptically delicious.
Oh, God, now we're really done with this segment. Mana, mana. All right, now I'm going to take a pause from the phone calls and some of the frequency we've been doing on the show so far to get our good friend Knot Theory on the phone with us. And I think we're going to talk about a little bit more about Freak Factor, like everybody hasn't heard enough about it. But this is, of course, Binary Revolution Radio, and a lot of people maybe listening to this show are not aware of Freak Factor. So Freak Factor is our reality radio show, and we have mentioned it on BinRev before, so people, if they're not downloading it, it's got to be because they're just not interested, I would think. But if you do like the telephonic craptaculars, and who doesn't, you might find Freak Factor interesting.
I know I love the telephonic craptacular.
Yeah, sure you do.
No, actually, I really do. I get a kick out of it, but I think it's reached the end of its life.
Well, and we opened up the show talking about that very topic, how all the phone calls that I want to make anymore, I do them live on Freak Factor. To me, it's more fun and it's cooler to do it live because I like, sometimes the screw-ups are funnier than the actual call ends up being, you know?
Yeah, going through content and just finding, like, you know, the best of the best is fun sometimes, but I think Freak Factor's a lot more interesting.
Yeah, and going through pre-recorded bits like this are it's very time consuming actually. It actually takes longer to make these clip shows than it does to just sit down and do a regular show, because we do the regular shows now in one take for the most part. So we can sit down in an hour and a half and have a show done and recorded, and it takes me another half hour to mix it and encode it and all that kind of goodness and then upload it. So you're talking about a total of a 2 to 2.5 hour process of just the show part. Of course, preparation, taking notes, doing research, all that kind of stuff is much more time intensive. But to sit down and do these clip shows like this, it literally takes hours and hours and hours of, well, you still have to record the calls and find out some cool numbers to call and make them work, and sometimes it takes 2 or 3 tries to get it down successfully, if you will. So then you got to save that, and then you have to go in also and edit out real phone numbers and real names to protect people and not get sued and all that kind of goodness. So, yes, these
but your edits are pretty good, though, I got to admit. A couple of those phone calls where they're like, hello, Mr. Stank Dog.
Well, see, I purposely make them funny, and you'll find some good stuff in this one as well. I edited some. There's been a couple where I leave in the DTMF tones to see if anybody will try to decode them. I purposely leave them in, but they're wrong. I'll mix them up or I'll make them fake. And sometimes they'll spell out funny things. Sometimes it'll be like a number for them if they actually call it. It's kind of one of the funny numbers that we've had. So there's some little hidden things throughout the years. I guess we can say that. It has been years, that's for sure. But back to Freak Factor. Again, if you really enjoy the Telephonic Craptaculars, you probably will like Freak Factor. Freak Factor is a lot more dialing out what I started to do with the Telephonic Craptaculars. The whole motivation behind it was all the spam, all the telemarketing calls I was getting. And I started recording the incoming calls that people made to me, and I would just mess with them. And that was the fun part to me. Well, I don't get so many of those anymore. Do you get many telemarketers calling you anymore these days?
None, actually, for multiple reasons. First of all, I only have a cell phone. And second of all, I never answer my phone.
So, yeah, I can vouch for that.
I don't know. They never leave voicemail, at least that much, I know. But yeah, I don't get any telemarketing calls whatsoever.
Yeah, and ever since I switched to VoIP, I don't think I may have gotten one. I may have gotten one, maybe two, and that's ever since I switched to VoIP. So, you know, that could have just been war dialing. They could have just been going down a number list.
Yeah.
Is it because the VoIP companies don't sell our information as much as the real phone companies, or do you think the VoIP companies actually, is there some legal reason or technical reason why it would not be available or out there for them to find?
Well, you didn't port your number, right? You got a new number.
I got a completely new number for the reason of avoiding, you know, that was one of the reasons.
Right. So a lot of these VoIP companies, when they're opening up shop, they may get assigned, like, a new block of numbers that nobody's had before. So telemarketers aren't up on that yet, you know, checking out which blocks are new and then just starting to war dial through those. And also, it's probably a lot easier to approach a company like Verizon and say, hey, sell us your whole customer list. Whereas they don't want to go to all the small VoIP companies like Vonage and VoicePulse and Lingo and all these other guys to do them, to get their little percentage of people that have their service. They'd rather get the larger guys. So I think VoIP services are a little safer, not safe, but safer from phone spam for at least a while.
Yeah, I was going to say for right now, but I mean with Vonage, with the growth of Vonage right now, it's only a matter of time, I guess, before they start selling it out also.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
again,
they're a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, and luckily, though, again, that's when you can easily change your number again. It's very easy to get another VoIP number, you know, and, you know, we all know the freedom of VoIP. You can get it in any area code, any NPA you want for it. Well, not any, but, you know, several NPAs to choose from. They're much more flexible with assigning you numbers and changing your numbers more often than the real phone company would do. If you wanted to change your number with the real phone company, you'll be on hold and bounced around from operator to department to operator so many times that you'll finally give up and say, screw it, I don't want another number that bad. I'll deal with the telemarketers.
And even if you do get a chance to change your number, I'm sure they'll ask you to pay some fee,
yep.
You know, the telephone number changing fee, which will be like $25.
Well, because somebody has to type in 9 new numbers, 10 new numbers.
No, I bet you at this point all they have to do is hit enter on somebody's terminal and it just generates a random number if it's not in use.
Well, yeah, it probably grabs the next available number. Sure, you're probably right. Absolutely.
Lazy bastards.
No justification for any of the fees. And it's great, though, that VoIP came out and is able to compete. I mean, it's not competing on a large scale yet. But it's only a matter of time. It's got nowhere to go but up. It's going to grow no matter what, so... It's fantastic that we've been bitching about the phone companies, we as hackers, for years, about how the rates are outrageous and how they're raping us as consumers and how they're just taking advantage of us and what a monopoly they are. And it's just fantastic now that we finally have an option. We've made an option. That's really, really, really revolutionary. It really is.
Yeah, and the VoIP companies have so much freedom to do all this cool stuff now. Like, if I want a new phone toll-free number, I go on their website, click a button, in 2 seconds I have a brand new toll-free number. If I want to do that with the regular phone company, shit, it takes days and days, if not weeks. So.
Well, how long are we going to enjoy this luxury? The lack of federal involvement and bureaucracy and limitations and control?
Well, it's already ending, actually. The FCC has passed a couple of rules. I don't know the exact wording of the rules. I've only, like, heard things secondhand, but things saying that all VoIP providers are going to need to provide 911 service. And I think that's the start of them saying, well, you need to also provide this and also provide this. And it's just going to... telephone companies, in order to go into business in the first place, already have so much legal red tape to go through, even VoIP companies. But now it's just going to get worse. They're going to become like regular phone companies. They're going to have to start charging these crazy fees just to cover their legal fees and stuff like that. And they're going to slow down. They're not going to be as efficient as they were. Unless they're just not playing by the rules, which actually a lot of VoIP companies right now are doing. They're just kind of ignoring the rules and hoping that nobody catches them on it.
Well, also, one of the things about the global interweb, as it is fine, the U.S. can make all these laws and all these rules and restrictions, but what's to stop them from setting up servers offshore? Same thing that hackers have done for years to avoid certain laws or certain areas where things can and can't be done. How much of a logistical problem would it be, or how easy would it be, to set up a server offshore and provide VoIP from just outside of the United States?
Well, you still run into the problem of you have to interconnect with the United States somehow. You have to, like, connect to the real public switch telephone network. And there are some guys, actually, I don't want to mention the company specifically and call them out, but there are some guys, there's a VoIP company in Canada that's pulling a scam right now to get really super cheap rates, and they're doing exactly what you're saying. They're working in Canada, avoiding U.S. fees, but kind of like doing it in a shady way. And eventually when they get caught, they're going to get put out of business because the U.S. is just going to say, well, we're not going to let any phone company terminate your calls here anymore. And then that's it. They're done. So yeah, you can avoid all these legal fees and taxes and stuff like that for a little while. But eventually it's going to stop, and then you have to start over again. So it's just basically a hassle, I guess, is what I'm getting at. But people will do it. Definitely.
Yeah, it's a shame that something good is happening and their revolution is coming, and what happens is the government's got to stick their hands in it again. Well, I'm not going to go into another anti-government leave me alone bit, but I think my opinion goes is pretty clear on that. They just destroy everything with overregulation. I hate it.
Yeah, you know, and this, I love to throw this out to people just really quickly. Think about why the telephone companies are regulated. Think about why the cable companies are regulated. Think about why the cell phone companies are regulated. Because they own the infrastructure. You have no choice. With a VoIP company, they should not be regulated because you can choose whoever you want. And it's, you know, they don't own any infrastructure. So there's no reason they should be regulated. You're still going to have to pay the cable company or the phone company to get your VoIP company. So if you want to regulate anybody, you regulate the big guys that own the infrastructure and leave the little guys alone, because they're not the ones who are monopolistic and need to be regulated. So that's my whole rant right there.
Well, and I think it's a very good one, very valid, and I don't know, this is one of those rants, this is one of those topics that I don't get angry about, I get sad. It makes me sad that this is the reality. But, hey, I guess that's the way it is. Anyway, I guess we don't really have too much time left for any kind of calls, but I think we got plenty of calls on this episode, so I got one more call, I think, that I'll close out with, and I guess it's time to move on to that now. So, Not Theory, thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you.
Mana. All right, this next little section is a snippet of a phone call to GoDaddy, once again with permission. I called and registered one of our sites, and once I got that taken care of, I took that opportunity, now that I had opened up a parlay with this gentleman, to get a little information and ask him about some of the legalities of valid or invalid information in the WHOIS records, or in the WHOIS records, or in the registration database. And this is what he had to say. Mana. Also, while we're on the subject, that's my real information and everything, but what is the legalities of putting in, like, an incorrect address or phone number?
That's a very good question. Okay, because let's say someone, like, it would only be an issue if you put this in the WHOIS database. If someone finds, like, a loophole and finds out that it's the incorrect information, mm-hmm. they can take it up with ICANN mm-hmm. Corporation and actually have your website canceled.
Would they have to notify me beforehand?
Yeah, they would have to. I mean, ICANN, of course, can't just do it automatically. They have to notify you that you have to put the right information in and what information is incorrect. And because, I mean, some people put it in, you know, like a fake name.
Right. Well, what I was thinking was putting in my real email in case somebody does need to contact me legitimately. But I'm kind of nervous about putting my real phone number. I don't want creeps calling me in the middle of the night or anything like that, you know? I feel like
You can put it. I mean, I don't care. I mean, if you put a fake number or not, because I know it's on you. This is not. I mean, this is for the actual registration itself for that domain. So this is going to be the actual information that's on this domain. You want me to just go ahead and change the number?
No, that's all right. Leave it for now. I think I can do that online anyway.
Yeah, you can actually go into your site or your GoDaddy.com account and then just change around whatever you want.
Yeah, I just have it's not your fault, I'm not complaining, but I just have an issue with paying for privacy. I feel like I have a right, I shouldn't have to pay for privacy protection, but that's just a personal thing.
Yeah, I agree, so.
Mana. So there you have it, even GoDaddy's own employees don't agree with their policies, they believe in privacy as well. So it's the people running GoDaddy making the decisions, I guess. Or truthfully, if we want to place the blame, it would be on the ICANN regulations. Once again, overregulation of any industry causes ridiculous concepts like the taking away our right to privacy. However, GoDaddy is also at fault for trying to charge fees and implement and force these things on you with no say-so in the matter. So, there you go. Mana. Mana. Mana.
You have problems, Stank Dog. Can you hear him?
Yeah.
Does she know Mana?
Do you know Mana?
Mana. Bam pa na na. Mana. Bam pa na da. Mana. Bam pa na na na. Da 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 da. Mana. You don't remember Mana?
What is wrong with you, dude? Jesus Christ.
Mana. Phenomena. Mana.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
Oh, it was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Manamana. And we're going to enter in an IP
address. The customer response center is currently closed.
What?
Normal business hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to
8
p.m.
What the fuck?
Please call during these hours to speak with the customer service consultant.
You know what I did, right? What the fuck? Hold on, let me drop that. You know... You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You know what I did, right?
No.
Instead of 888, I dialed 1-800. So whoever's got 1-800, I don't know what the hell that was about.
Well, some customer response center, obviously.
Hey, maybe we might have to play with that one later also. Manamana. Got a lot of places with a lot of information, man. It's really a lot of stuff going on that people really can find interesting and blah, blah, fuckity suck balls!
Oh, that's going in the takeout episode.
Oh, I was done. I was getting ready to finish, and then you said something and it fucked me all up. I didn't know where to go with it. All right, fuck. Yeah, I guess that will go into the outtakes. God damn you, Natas.
Owned.
Manamana. All right, now, moving on with our next victim, our next freak on the show tonight. And, of course, I mean freak as in PH, the good way. The good freaks. The good wicked freak of the East. I don't know what the fuck am I saying tonight. Fuck!